how'd your dad react to meeting the first guy you brought home to meet him? This is a good one. So, how was Pierce off camera? How has the family adjusted to the move? What's your skincare regimen? Breast explant. Piece of advice you'd give your younger self. What would you do if you found out your husband was sleeping with a trans woman? Please talk about how you keep your face so beautiful. Of course, steaks, but also fillers, question mark. Here's one. I'm social, my girlfriend is not. We generally stay in, and I'd like to go out more. How do I do this? Best and worst thing about being newly married. Hey guys, long time no talk. I'm back. I did a podcast with my dad a couple of weeks ago. It came out last week, and I figured before I started podcasting again, I would do a Q&A because I disappeared for kind of 6 months, kind of. It wasn't terrible, but basically what happened was I moved from Canada to Nashville It would have been 2021. And I started not feeling great in Nashville, and I thought it was tree allergies, and I started getting insomnia and heart palpitations and general weakness and fatigue, and my joints started hurting kind of in an arthritic way, and my skin was breaking out, and my stomach was upset. It took quite a while to figure out whether or not I was just sick, because we moved there, and I got strep throat that wasn't treatable with antibiotics for about 3 months, and it just kept going up and down and up and down. That turned into pneumonia. Anyway, figured it was the tree allergies because Nashville's in kind of a bowl and I'm extremely allergic to trees, like verging on anaphylaxis if I really get covered in pollen. And so we moved from Nashville. I thought that was a terrible decision. We moved to Miami, which can be better. Florida can be better for people with tree allergies, certain areas. And then I moved to Florida and things were okay. And in November last year, I moved into a house that my parents had purchased. And then just got, over the next 4 months, got sicker and sicker and sicker. And in about January, so last January, 2023, I was lying on the couch and I thought, okay, this is abnormal. This isn't just colds that Scarlett's bringing home. Like, I don't even have enough energy to like raise my arms. I was waking up in the morning with mucus, like a toddler's level of mucus. And it occurred to me February, that I was reacting to mold in the house. And the house was basically new. It was from 2018, this gorgeous waterfront house. And it turned out there was mold in the HVACs and that the roof hadn't been sealed properly. So there was mold in the drywall that you couldn't see. Thank God I figured it out eventually. And I clued in because there was one area by the front door or the back door that I actually could eventually see mold coming out from behind the drywall. So we left. I stopped podcasting then. I actually took a break from work, which I never do, because I couldn't think anymore. I had no internal dialogue, serious brain fog, a whole bunch of autoimmune symptoms. I'd cut out salt from my diet because I was only eating lamb and salt at that point, and I was like, I've solved all my other problems by using diet, so maybe I'm suddenly reacting to salt, which is ridiculous, really. But we figured out it was mold. I moved out. I took a break from work for 2 weeks till I got my internal dialogue back and could actually focus and write emails. And 6 months we spent in hotels because we had to renovate the Miami house in very dramatic ways. And we're selling it now because we've moved out of Florida, but we didn't want to poison the next people who moved in. So we had to remediate it first, which I think most people would just lie and not do, but we got so sick. Scarlett was sick. My husband Jordan was sick. And so I paused the podcast because I really wanted to focus on the work that I have to do, and I could barely do that. So that's where I went for 6 months. And we went from like hotel to hotel. First, we went to Arizona to do mold treatment to try to get better. And the mold treatment that I'm currently doing, it's for chronic inflammatory response syndrome. It's called SIRS. And I think it makes sense that the reason I'm allergic to everything is from mold exposure throughout my life, because when I was little, when I was about 8, I don't really know what happened before that age, but I know that when I was 8, We had a massive leak in our basement, which is where I was living. And there was black mold all over the basement. And I got just sicker and sicker and sicker and sicker. Eventually managed to put most of those symptoms into remission with the Lion diet. And the Lion diet worked for a long time. And then over the last couple of years, it's been kind of, I've been much better than I was as a teenager, but it's just been, I've had these weird symptoms. And so I started taking cholestyramine, which is this binder that you drink. It's not systemically absorbed. It just goes into your gut. It binds bile. And then theoretically, the toxins that are circulating around your body that are recirculated with bile, because you don't necessarily excrete all the bile, are bound up or binded. It's probably bound by cholestyramine, and then you poop them out. And that has worked very well. But what really has worked was moving out of that house. I threw away all my clothes. We got rid of all the furniture, which was recommended by the doctors we're working with. I'm working with Dr. Scott McMahon, who deals with SIRS specifically. And then we moved to Arizona. So it took a while to find a house in Arizona. We got it tested thoroughly, made sure there were no leaks, because I'm pretty certain, I would say like 90% sure and hopeful, that the reason I'm allergic to everything is because of mold exposure as a child, and that I've been using diet and eliminating all these things from my diet to mitigate this inflammatory response that my body's just chronically in. And so hopefully in 6 months or so, I'll be able to tolerate more foods, because I had one question. This is a Q&A, that's just the update part. But I had one question about whether or not I think the Lion diet is a species appropriate diet, or if it's just used for people with chronic health issues. And I think anybody with chronic health issues should try it as an elimination diet to see if diet's playing a role in their symptoms, because it certainly was in mine. But I do think that the reason certain people gravitate towards it is because they have so much gut damage that what they're eating is leaking into their body through their gut and causing inflammatory responses. And I do not believe that humans didn't evolve to tolerate like blueberries and carrots and things. So I shouldn't be having these massive inflammatory responses with carrots. And I always thought the diet would just heal that. And then I was just stuck on this diet, which has been life-saving for me, and I'm going to continue it. But I would obviously like to be able to branch out a bit and just not have these massive inflammatory reactions if I introduce a food. So currently, I'm still on the Lion diet. I'm now eating beef, which I didn't do for a couple of years because of histamine intolerance. So digestive issues with aged meat. That seems to have gone away, but I still can't do things like chicken without having inflammatory reactions. So like digestive upset pretty much right away. My skin breaks out. I get brain fog for the next couple of days. I get really irritable. It's not super dramatic like reintroductions were 5 years ago, because I've been on the diet for 5.5 years now. But still not doable. So that's my update. So I spent the last 6 months working on other things I do. So we've been working very diligently on launching Peterson Academy, which should be launching at the end of November. And I think we're just going to let about 3,000 people onto the platform and then work out all the kinks. So if you're one of the people that signs up early, there might be kinks on the platform. We're hoping there won't be, but we're going to do the major launch for New Year's and let anybody come to the platform. Anybody in the world is going to be able to sign up. We're going to have 8-hour courses taught by just incredible professors from all over the world. We have quite an array of courses, and we're going to be offering a general education course with the goal of teaching people how to think. We're not going to force ideas on people. And the platform looks great, I think. You can take notes, you can comment, you have a profile so you can communicate with other students, you can form study groups. We're gonna enable location so that if you're in a course and you wanna meet other people taking the course, you can actually meet up in person. There's a lot more that goes into the platform, and once we have all the UI done, I'll probably do an overview on YouTube running people through the platform, but it'll be easy to use and intuitive, so you won't have to learn it or anything. So I spent a lot of time on that, and then I also manage my dad's brand. That still takes up about 80% of my time, just sorting out problems, because there are always people that are trying to take advantage of him, and so I'm kind of a wall that says no to that. What else? Oh, and then Fuller Health, which credit to my husband for coming up with that name, but his last name's Fuller. My last name's now Fuller, so he was obviously inclined to go with Fuller Health. We're launching supplements, so we started with a hangover supplement because I've had real intolerance issues with supplements. Otherwise, I'd probably be taking them. But I've been able to take this one supplement called dihydromyricetin, and the product that we're putting out is called After Party, but it helps you break down acetaldehyde if you drink. I'm not condoning drinking. Obviously, drinking isn't a healthy thing to do, but if you're going to do it, and I do enjoy my vodka sodas and bourbon from time to time, if you are going to do it, you might as well get some help breaking down the toxic byproduct of alcohol, which reduces hangovers. And I've been using it since I was 20, sourcing it from like sketchy Chinese websites, and now we have it actually manufactured. There are no fillers, there's nothing added. They're just in cellulose capsules in this like nice amber jar. Hey, just to step in real quick, we have launched After Party. This is so much better than the sketchy powder I've been sourcing from China, third party tested. The pills are literally heavy with dihydromyricetin. These are them, you can't tell, but they weigh a ton. 30-day money back guarantee, free shipping in the US. We just launched 3 days ago. Give them a shot. I swear these will make you more productive following drinking. They reduce nausea, actually reduce. Guys, think in the reviews. You can go to fullerhealth.com and use code MP for 15% off, and they end up costing less than $2.40 per avoided hangover. Enjoy. So I've been working on Fuller Health, Peterson Academy, my dad's brand. Oh, and then, you know, finding a house, setting up that house, moving, and I have a 6-year-old. So it's been a bit busy. But now that I'm in a house, and we're kind of just like living in a box right now with no furniture, but it's so nice to not be in a hotel. Now that I'm here, I have time to podcast again and put out more content. And if you guys are interested, I think I'm going to do more personal vlog type content, vlog for lack of a better word, but just more personal background stuff because I've focused on podcasting, which I love, and I get to learn from people when I'm podcasting. But I haven't gone into a lot of personal life stuff, I think, because my life was such a shit show, for lack of a better word, for so long with dad getting famous and then trying to get a handle on that and people coming in and really taking advantage of my family and then a divorce. And it was just, I was like, maybe we don't touch that for now. But things are much more stable now. I'm extremely happy in my relationship. I got remarried, you guys know that. Married somebody named Jordan, which you can all laugh at. I can laugh at too. And things are much better now. So I'm gonna be putting out a podcast. I'm gonna try to go to twice a week. I'm gonna try to go to in person, and I'm gonna be doing more vlog stuff. So with that rather lengthy introduction, I'm gonna answer some questions. Okay, first to get the mold out of the way, because wow, I almost never wanted to talk or say the word mold again. I'm so tired of learning about mold and what it does to the body. I put together a website. It's at biotoxin.com, which somehow I managed to snag. Biotoxin.com, and you can follow along with my journey trying to get better from mold and bacteria biotoxins, which, like I said, I think is what caused my autoimmunity. So all the information's at biotoxin.com. I linked a ton of studies. There's studies done from all over the world linking biotoxin and mold exposure to things like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, neurological syndromes, Crohn's disease, autoimmunity, just terrifying studies. And I wasn't aware of the role. I knew the environment played a role in health, and I always had air purifiers in my house. Been advertising for Rabbit Air for a while because I know the importance of air purifiers and keeping things clean, but I didn't realize how little mold some people's immune systems need in order to start this chronic inflammatory response that they can't get over. So all the information's at biotoxin.com. It also links you to practitioners that can help, actual doctors that are knowledgeable about this, testing. You can read all the studies and you can follow along there. So check out biotoxin.com. I put that partly together so that I could answer questions properly for you guys, and partly so I could organize exactly what chronic inflammatory response syndrome was in my brain, because it's complicated on a biological level. It's multi-system. It's weird. All the information is there. So if you think, if you have random autoimmune symptoms or digestive issues or insomnia, brain fog, I would take a look at it and make sure that's not your problem, because diet works. Like, this Lion diet saved my life. But if that's the actual problem underneath things, that might be causing the food sensitivities in the first place. So you need to get a handle on that. So if you're having mold issues, I would say try the Lion diet right away, because it'll help mitigate symptoms, but then address the root cause by basically getting out of exposure from mold. This is a good one. This is, how'd your dad react to meeting the first guy you brought home to meet him? So the first person I brought home was like a young teenage, like romance, just somebody I was dating, going to movies with and things. And that guy told me he loved me, and I told my dad, and my dad was like, you should bring him over and I should meet him. So he came over and we had this incredibly uncomfortable talk in our living room, where we both sat down and dad just grilled him about, why do you love my daughter? What is it exactly? And so that's how my dad reacted to the first person I brought home. It was really stressful as like a 14-year-old. So that was pretty funny. Here's one. I'm social. My girlfriend is not. We generally stay in, and I'd like to go out more. How do I do this? So my dad's got this personality test. You can take it, understandmyself.com. It's $10 or something, ridiculously underpriced in my opinion. And you can link other people to your personality. So if you both take it, you can link each other and then see how you, see the areas you might have issues with. In my opinion, if you're dating somebody who's super high in certain personality aspects, so there's openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism, if you skew way different on extroversion or conscientiousness or openness, I would say those are the big three, there's definitely gonna be issues you have to figure out. Like, if you're highly conscientious, so super organized, super work-focused, and you're dating someone who scores really low in those, they're probably gonna drive you crazy. I don't even know if those relationships can work. So I'd be careful who you date based on conscientiousness. Two neurotic people, that might be an issue. If one person's really neurotic and one person's low in neuroticism, I think that can work, because the more stable person can calm down some of the neuroses in the neurotic person. And then for extroversion, I'd say definitely talk to your significant other about wanting to go out more. And if she really doesn't want to, then you should do it anyway. Go out with your friends and try and fulfill that extroverted part of yourself with other things. So doing a podcast, for instance, for me, I'm very extroverted. I scored 98 or 99th, something like that. And doing a podcast really fulfills the extroversion part of me. Even if I'm just talking to a camera, like, fills that bucket a little bit. So I'd go out more with friends and make sure you're doing it enough. Otherwise, you're going to get resentful, and I think that relationship's not going to work out. But I would definitely recommend anybody single or anybody in a relationship, but see what your personality is and then get other people to check what theirs is and see if you guys can work. Like, some of the mistakes I've made is I've gone on dates with other extroverts who are really low in conscientiousness. And so it's super fun. And then you find out later, oh, you really don't have any drive. That's going to be a problem. And that's like an unfixable problem, I think. What are some misconceptions about being divorced / remarried? One of the misconceptions I had is I'd listened to a lot of the red pill stuff online. So I figured, okay, I have a kid, I'm divorced, I'm going to have a very difficult time finding somebody because I have all this baggage. And it wasn't just that baggage. It's also my life's a bit dramatic. I work all the time. And I was hoping to find somebody who would help me with work. So I also needed to look for someone who was interested in helping me with work. talking with somebody at home. So it was kind of a tricky niche to fill. I was either really lucky, I think that was part of it, I was really lucky, but it wasn't as difficult as I thought it would be. Having a kid and being divorced didn't actually hinder men's interest in me. And I've talked to other women who've been through something similar where they were divorced and have a little kid and were very worried about being devalued and not being able to be happy again with anyone. And they found it a lot easier too. So I would say if you're in that situation as a woman, make sure that you're valuable in other ways, right? I mean, having a kid, kids are amazing, right? So if you're dating someone and they're disgusted at the fact you have a kid, don't go out with that person. And if you're driven and you're smart and you're capable and you take care of yourself and all these other areas of life, then that, I think, overrides it. At least that's my experience. So that was a big misconception I had, because I probably stayed in a relationship I shouldn't have been in for longer, because I thought, if I don't want to be in this, I have to be prepared to be alone forever. So I kind of had to get to the point where I was like, being alone would be better. I'm okay with that. And once I got to the point where I was okay with being alone, I wasn't as anxious about it and things just worked out beautifully. Okay, breast explant. So I haven't talked to you guys about this, but I had a boob job years ago and I got them, I didn't have it in for very long. It was about a year and a half and I got them taken out, partly because I was so sick from mold. I thought some of the symptoms were coming from the boob implants. And what I'm gonna do is actually a separate video on plastic surgery that's not part of this Q&A. I'm gonna put it out in the next month. So I'll address that there and I'll just leave it at that. How did you deal with feeling sorry for yourself when your health was at its worst? So I probably had help from my parents, because I was told at a really young age, like when I got diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, I was in grade 2, and my dad told me never use this as an excuse. And so I think growing up, I knew I couldn't exactly feel sorry for myself. And for whatever reason, that included, but for whatever reason, I didn't really feel sorry for myself. I was just angry. Really angry. So livid at not being able to play sports that other kids could. Bowl very well, because my thumb would get stuck in the bowling ball because I had like really thickened joints. And I didn't really feel sorry for myself. I was just lividly angry. So is that feeling sorry for yourself? I don't know. Maybe kind of. But what I would say, as someone who's been chronically ill for way too long, is that you have to remember it's not useful. It doesn't actually get you out of the situation. So if you're laying in bed being like, why me? Which is a fair question when you have an autoimmune disorder and part of your body's deciding to die on you. You're like, oh, why me? Self-pity and try to turn it into anger, because anger is more of a positive emotion. You can actually do something with it. Like, get angry, get frustrated, and try to fix it. And when you're that sick, the likelihood that you're going to go to a doctor and they're going to fix you, from my experience, is zero. It just doesn't work. The medical system is broken. So do as much research as you can and try things and just try them and try them and try them till they get better. You have to get into the mindset of, I will do anything to get better before I think you can get better. So a lot of the people that are drawn to the diet I'm on have tried everything for a very long time, like years and years. And at some point they switch into the mode of, I'm going to try anything. And then they try the diet, because you really have to get to that point before you're willing to only eat meat, because nobody really wants to only eat meat. I don't know anyone who's just like, I'm going to do this for fun forever. That being said, I did see this interview with, I think she was an 82-year-old woman on the carnivore diet by Dr. Anthony Chaffee. I hope I'm saying that right. Chaffee. Who looked incredible. So she was a farmer and she ate mostly meat for 65 years. And she looks like, I would say like a 55-year-old. but she's 82. So I might get her on the podcast because that was pretty impressive. But instead of feeling sorry for yourself, get angry and try and fix the problem. And if you need to spend a day in bed moping about, you can do that from time to time. Watch some movies, try to get yourself out of that funk, but try to change that into anger and fix it. Because I think these health problems are fixable. Hey guys, brief interruption. I'd like to introduce you to carnivore snacks if you don't already know them. These are what my parents live off of on tour. This is what Scarlett asks for in the mornings. These are so much better than chips. They're worth giving a shot. If you want to get skinny eating chips, these are the chips to eat. I like them because they're literally just beef and salt. So they fit in perfectly with my restrictive diet. But then I've tested them out on my normal friends too that eat normal people food, and they're a hit there too. So there's no additives, no seasonings, marinades, no sugar, just clean meat chips made in the US. They're offering a 15% discount using code MP15 at checkout. They're linked in the description at carnivoresnacks.com. That's SNAX.com. Code MP15 at checkout. Crunchy goodness, and the meat they use is from regenerative farms, so no environmentalists can logically come after you. Not that they're known for their logic. Enjoy the rest of this episode. See, here's another question. There were a couple questions like, please talk about how you keep your face so beautiful. Of course, steaks, but also fillers, question mark. There's more to it than fillers, which I'm gonna update you guys on now that I'm doing more personal stuff very soon. But the key thing for me was making sure my diet was good because dying of autoimmunity is very unattractive. And so that was the main thing, but there are other things that I will tell you guys all about soon. Ooh, this is fun. Travel first, kids later, or have kids then travel. Trying to figure my life out, but does one plan this stuff? I don't know if somebody plans this stuff. I always had it in my head that I wanted to have kids early, and then that happened for me. And I have one, my best friend, she had kids when she was 28, which is early compared to the average person now. And I think it's better to have them early. One, because you don't risk as much. You don't risk not being able to have kids, which can really hit women in their mid-30s, sometimes earlier if they're not healthy. And that's a huge risk you don't want to take. And you have a long life to live. And so I think it's better to have kids sooner, even though having kids is really hard and it does dampen your ability to do things. Have kids and travel later. That's what I would do. That's what I'm doing. Although I'm traveling at the same time, but I'm in a position that I'm very grateful for that allows me to do that. How has the family adjusted to the move? Okay, so there were a couple of questions about Scarlett because she's had such a crazy life for a six-year-old. Like, she was with me when we went to Russia with my dad. She was with me in Serbia with my dad. We've probably lived in a different place every 6 months for a number of factors, mostly my dad being sick and us hopping around the world trying to figure out who could help him. And she's had lots of different babysitters because I work so much. And rather than that turning her into this neurotic child, she's actually really stable. She's really stable. So I basically explained the mold situation and was like, you know, because she got sick too. She had bronchitis almost all the time. Every time she'd get a cold, she'd get bronchitis. I was like, oh no, this is what used to happen to me as a kid. That's no good. She has tree allergies. She has all these allergies, even though I've been so careful with her diet, which I think is from mold. And so she was very excited when we moved, very excited when we got a new house. And we put her in an Acton school. And Acton is this type of education from, like, I think they do preschool all the way to grade 12 in different areas that isn't like the public system or even the private system in America. I'm a huge fan of it. It's not ideological. It teaches kids the Socratic method. They have discussions in class about what they're grateful for. And she's brought a couple of things home that I thought, okay, this is the right place. She's also made, she just started grade one a month ago, less, 2 weeks ago, she said, I have five friends. And I think when we were in Miami, she was at this bougie private school, and the people there were not my people exactly. Not that I have a type of person, but I don't think, maybe I do have a type of person. But she only had two friends that she liked because she said everybody in her class was kind of bratty, and they were. We went to a couple of birthday parties and they were bratty. And so the fact that she's made five friends in 2 weeks, she loves the school. And the school's so different from her old school. The old school looked like a university campus. It had this huge pool outside. I was blown away. I was like, this doesn't even exist in Canada. And this new school is in like the back of a building because it just started and it's not that big. And I was like, well, this is going to be a change from her bougie private school. And she loves it. So she's done really well. There hasn't really been a transition period, honestly. And I'm feeling better. My husband's feeling better. So the family has adjusted very well. Remind us again we can get through SSRI withdrawal. These doctors should be in jail. So just real quick, SSRI withdrawal does end. There are things you can do to mitigate it. It is horrible. It's one of the worst. It's one of the worst things I've been through other than watching my dad try to get off of psych meds. Me actually getting off of them wasn't as bad as watching him because he had such a harder time. It was awful. But it does end. It's your brain adapts to these psych meds, and then if you remove them rapidly, your brain's in withdrawal. You've like structurally changed your brain. You can see this on MRIs. So if you go to a doctor and they go, oh, that doesn't happen, get a new doctor. It happens. But that does heal. Your brain does heal. And a lot of the symptoms can be mitigated through diet. It seriously changed my life, the diet. That's why I went to the Lion Diet in the first place, was because I was having such terrible SSRI withdrawal. So use diet. I would recommend the Lion Diet or at least a ketogenic diet. But the ketogenic diet by itself wasn't good enough for me or my dad. And remember that it seems to be about 2 years of healing. The first year is significantly worse than the second year. And you can get through it 100%. And when you're through it, it'll be hard to imagine what it even felt like. So stay strong. Don't suddenly stop taking SSRIs or psych meds. Wean down very slowly and try to mitigate the side effects with diet. And not everybody gets these horrible withdrawal syndromes, but people who've been on them at high doses for a longer period of time are more prone to them. So just stay strong, get through it, stay alive. It ends. Things get better. How do you get your folic acid during pregnancy on carnivore diets to avoid neural tube defects? Okay, so I didn't supplement for a really long time on the carnivore diet. I've been doing it for 5.5 years, Lion Diet specifically. And my vitamins were all good until I moved into that Miami mold house. And then I was trying to see what was wrong with me. And I was like, diet doesn't seem to be helping as much anymore. What's going on? And I tested all my vitamins and they were almost all out of whack. And we tested my dad's vitamins and his were almost all normal, even though he's been on the diet for the same amount of time as me. So I think it was mold that did it. I started supplementing folate by injection. So there's a company, I'll link it. I don't remember what it's called, but I'll just link it, where you can order injectable folate. So if you have a sensitized immune system that doesn't tolerate oral folate or folic acid, like me, you can do it by injection. Anybody who's doing any type of diet, or even any random person who's not doing a diet, I would recommend doing vitamin testing and making sure that's all good and supplementing when you're not. So just how to get your folic acid during pregnancy. I would, just out of an abundance of caution, supplement. Now, a lot of people will be like, oh, eat more liver and do these things, but you want to take folate deficiency seriously. So I'd supplement, and I'm supplementing with injectable folate because my folate was very low and it's hard to say what caused that. I'm sure part of it was mold and who knows, maybe part of it was being on the diet for 5.5 years, but I just, for anyone, because these things are so new, for anyone doing any type of diet, monitor them, monitor the vitamins and supplement. Just make sure you don't react to the supplements. And if you do, try to find the injectable ones. And those work for anything that's not fat soluble. For the fat soluble ones, you actually need to inject them into a muscle. And so then I'd go in somewhere and get them injected. How was Pierce off camera? So I did Pierce Morgan, which was fun because you get to go to a studio and get like dressed up and it's a studio, so that's fun. He was super polite and nice. There wasn't a lot more to that. He was super polite and nice to me. So that was really fun. I was very grateful to be on there. Biggest motivator to stay disciplined. My biggest motivator to stay disciplined is to really envision what I want. So say for working on Peterson Academy and pushing that forward, I'm, you know, visualizing the platform and what that looks like and then just working towards that. So I think if you're not motivated, you probably don't have a well-visualized end goal. So really think about what your end goal is, whether that's for health, say you want to get fit, like picture yourself like that and then just keep working towards it. Or if you have some sort of autoimmune disorder or chronic disease, really try to believe you can get better, because I believe you can get better. I don't think bodies are just made to be broken. They're reacting to something and you have to figure out what that something is, whether it's the environment, you know, like issues from mold or from growing up around mold when you were a kid, leaky gut from what you're eating or from too many antibiotics as a kid, addressing all those things. Just picture yourself healthy, believe that. Like I don't believe in manifesting. I'm not a manifester person, but having a goal, a well-visualized goal, really helps with motivation. You have to really want it. You're not going to be motivated to do something unless you really want it. And if you're working on something you don't really want, you should probably find something else to work on. What do you think about functional medicine? Anybody who needs a doctor, I would say, go to a functional doctor, functional medicine doctor. They're going to have experience from the more mainstream medical side, and they're going to look at what naturopaths are looking at. So I'd say functional doctor is the way you want to go if you need a doctor. Piece of advice you'd give your younger self. So a couple. One, stop eating garbage. It's impacting you way more than you think. It's impacting your ability to sleep. It's giving you chronic fatigue. It's making you depressed. It's changing your reality. It's making you gain weight. Stop eating foods that are bad for you, which means processed foods in general, and probably grains and dairy. That would be my number one piece of advice. My second piece of advice would be, if you're trying really hard at something and it's not working out and it feels like everything you're doing isn't working, maybe it's not working, right? Maybe those are universal signs, signs from God that this isn't the path you should be taking. And I guess the third piece of advice would be, if you're having a really hard time, have faith that you can get through it and that it's going to end and that that difficult time is going to teach you something that's so valuable that the difficult time will be worth going through. Now when bad things happen, so when I got quite ill from mold and it was scary because I didn't have an internal dialogue and I started to literally not be able to think enough to answer emails in my inbox, which is scary. I was too weak to go upstairs in Miami, which was crazy. So Jordan was helping me go upstairs and I was like, I have no energy in any of my muscles. It feels like I've been working out, but I haven't been working out. When that kind of thing happens to me, because bad things are going to happen, even if you have your life organized, have faith that you've gotten through bad things before, you can get through this one, that things will get better, and that this is just a period of, almost think about it like a test. That's what I do now, is I go, okay, there's something here that I need to learn, and I believe that. So there's something here that I need to learn. I really hope it doesn't take me 2 years to learn it. I hope this is more of a 3 to 6 month process and that you'll come out on the other side wiser and stronger, maybe humbler. So yes, those are my three pieces of advice. What's your skincare regimen? Okay, so I'm gonna just stick this in the plastic surgery episode because there's lasers involved and there's a lot of things involved. My main skincare regimen was fixing my diet because my skin was a mess before diet. I really mean a mess. And diet basically fixed it. I wasn't using any skincare products. I was glowing. Then I moved back into the Miami house and like my skin died again. even though my diet was the same, it was very frustrating. I tried to reintroduce chicken last week because I didn't want to eat steak anymore, and then my skin broke out. That was last week. So diet's huge. If you can get rid of grains and dairy and processed foods and eat whole foods, and if you're just a regular person that doesn't have any serious autoimmunity or depression or insomnia, major symptoms, Max Lugavere is a really good guy to follow. He kind of teaches what people should eat like. And I'm kind of torn at the moment whether or not I believe what Max says. I think his nutritional information is very solid for the average healthy person. Or if you're interested, I'd go more animal-based where you're primarily eating meat, but then you have these other non-processed foods to eat. That can really help your skin. And then I'll talk about all the other things soon. Ooh, what are your thoughts on Blueprint from Brian Johnson? Okay, so you guys probably have heard of Brian Johnson, but he's this tech entrepreneur guy, super smart, and he's put millions of dollars into rejuvenation and anti-aging, and he's on a vegan diet. He does like lasers all the time, red light therapy. He has biometrics of almost everything in his entire body, which is really cool. That's something I would have really liked to do, but I didn't have the money to be able to measure everything. But I think following him is very interesting. I don't agree with the vegan approach. I think most of the research done on diet and the longevity research done on diet is done on vegan diets and calorie restriction and fasting. And I think there's really something to calorie restriction and fasting. But I think this high protein leading to health issues is incorrect. And I know there's somebody else who... You guys will know him. There's another longevity guy that says people should use a vegan diet, and I don't think that is scientifically accurate or up to date. So other than that, but he's going based off of scientific papers, so I can see how he got there. Other than that, I think he's a very interesting human being. I was actually supposed to interview him in January, and I canceled twice because I couldn't think. My internet wasn't working because I couldn't think, really. No, that was actually by chance. That was because of a storm in Miami. But I would like to interview him. I think he's very interesting. Best and worst thing about being newly married. So I've almost been married for 2 years now to Jordan. And the best thing is I don't feel lonely anymore. And I was so lonely. Even though I was okay with being alone, I was so lonely. And I'm not lonely anymore. So that's one of the best things. And that isn't like a position that anybody could fill. I couldn't just get married to someone and not be lonely, because you can certainly be lonely in a relationship. So that's because I found the right person. But that's probably the best part. And the worst part, I think because we got married so quickly, the scariest part for me has been, did we get married too quickly? Do I even know this person well enough? And sometimes I can get some like existential angst of the world kind of feels like it's falling on me, and is anything I believe real? I don't know if you guys get that, but I certainly get that sometimes, and that's me being existential. And so that's been, I guess, the worst thing is me second guessing myself, but I'm pretty positive this was the right decision. So there haven't really been bad things about it. It's basically just been good. This is a tricky one. Unplanned pregnancy and deciding whether you should be with the partner after that. So I had an unplanned pregnancy when I was 24, Scarlett, and I probably should have not stayed with that person. I think it would have been better for everybody, including Scarlett. But at the time, I thought that if you had an unplanned pregnancy, it would be better to have a stable family and just be with that person. I think it's really dependent on the situation. So if you can make it work, if you can figure out any way to make it work, you should try as hard as you can to make it work. Even if you don't know that person very well, like, try as hard as you can to make it work. If it really doesn't work, then I don't think it's better for a family to stay together. If everybody's miserable, why would anyone want to grow up in a miserable household? So I can't help more than that. I think you should be supportive regardless through the pregnancy and present, and then honest with the other person about talking about how your future could look. It's a very complicated situation, and ideally, this is also why Christians and people who are religious say, don't have sex before you get married, because the ramifications of an unplanned pregnancy are you're impacting another person's life that isn't yours, you know, and you're all tied up in this unplanned pregnancy, and it's a mess. Or it can be a mess. Sometimes it can just be a blessing, but sometimes it can be a mess. And so I can understand why people say don't have sex before marriage. But I think it's very dependent on the person. If you can make it work, try to make it work. If it's really not working, don't just force this resentful family on a little kid. I don't think that's better for them than having two separated people that are happy with different families. What would you do if you found out your husband was sleeping with a trans woman? Get a second divorce. There's nothing to think about there. Don't even delve into the whys there. Be like, oh, okay, bye. What do you think about Ozempic? Maybe I'll stick this into that other video about plastic surgery that I'm gonna do. I don't know a ton about Ozempic. I think weight loss is healthy for people. I think there are other ways you can do it. Like the keto diet works so well for weight loss that I do the keto diet first. I think Ozempic should be left to people who aren't honestly disciplined enough to do a keto diet. Because I think you should tackle it from that angle. But if you're not disciplined enough to do the keto diet and you do want to lose weight and you're really overweight, Ozempic might be worth a shot. I saw some studies on heart issues and it's pretty new, and you want to be careful about injecting or taking anything new that doesn't have a lot of research on it. So be careful. Be careful with that one, and just honestly have some self-discipline and go the diet route. But being extremely obese is very unhealthy, so I would assume it would be better to take Ozempic and not be obese than it would be to do nothing and stay obese. But use diet instead if you can do that. Have you looked into high-dose IV stem cells for autoimmunity? I have. I plan on doing them. I'm going to have Dr. Khan back on my podcast. I did a podcast with him like right before I kind of died in Miami. And we talked about stem cells and NK, natural killer cell infusions. I'm definitely going to look into those. Mom and Dad actually had stem cell infusions recently. I don't know if they've noticed anything yet, but seems super promising. I don't think it's this cure, but maybe it is. I'm going to try it out anyway. But I mean, seems unlikely that you can just keep living your life the way you're living it, eating whatever you want and take IV stem cells and just be fine. I think you have to tackle health from way more angles than that. How can I meet people for dating who understand my crazy diet? Yeah. So I'm doing too many things right now, but I like doing too many things, or I get bored and I like being able to hop from project to project. So I'm like, okay, finished my inbox, finished everything on Dad's side. Let's do a bit on PA. How's Fuller Health going? I'll stick a podcast in there. I kind of want to put out a dating app, and this biohacker named Melanie Avalon is interested in doing it too. I've been talking about a dating app for people who are on the paleo diet or keto diet or carnivore diet for a long time. We could potentially incorporate Dad's personality test in there, and then you could join it. Even if you're not on a diet, you could say, I'm not on a diet, so that's not a factor. But you could figure out your personality so that can show up on your profile, so you can be linked to other people with similar personalities that mesh. They don't have to be similar in all the different traits. That kind of sounds like a fun side project if we're going to pursue that. So I'll keep you guys posted, but you can tell me if you think that would be useful. But I know, especially if you're on one of these crazy like keto diets, or vegans aren't allowed on the platform though. Sorry guys, I'm not doing plant-based on it. But if you're on a keto or a carnivore diet, it is pretty hard to date without finding other like-minded people. It just makes you kind of into a weirdo, so. Okay, a bunch of people asked about Scarlett. Is she on the Lion diet? How's she doing? Is it okay to put kids on the Lion diet? And Scarlett's not on the Lion diet. She's on an animal-based diet. So she eats a ton of meat, but she eats like fish and chicken and mostly beef. And then she eats certain fruit. little bit of vegetables. And she's doing very well. She gets stomach aches. Like one of the mold symptoms she had was stomach aches and kind of urgency issues running to the bathroom, and then bronchitis all the time. And I'm hoping that with mold treatment, she won't get stomach aches as much, so we'll be able to expand her diet more. The only reason that it's as restrictive as it is, although I would never introduce processed foods and sugar back in, I'm debating whether or not we want to give raw milk a shot, because I've heard mixed things about that. I just don't want anything to go badly, but I think she'll be able to tolerate more things in about maybe even sooner than 6 months, maybe like 3 months. So we'll try and expand out. But for kids on the Lion diet, if your kid has an autoimmune disorder, so like kids get diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis when they're 2, if that's happening, I think the dangers of that getting worse and multiple joint replacements and like a crippling disease forever, people with autoimmunity also die sooner. It's really bad. That compared to a diet that might, most people are worried it'll make them into a like a weird kid. I don't think kids care. Like Scarlett hasn't been bothered at all. I've taught her, hey, like a lot of people eat pizza and a lot of people eat lollipops and candy, and they don't really know how bad that is for them, but that's bad for them. She has these little fruit snacks. They're still in, not plastic, but probably plastic, that you undo, but it's just pure fruit. So she has these snacks that she can eat. Other kids like them too. She eats jerky. She doesn't feel weird or restricted. She just thinks she's eating healthy. So I think if your kid is really sick, I would put them on an elimination diet right away. Scarlett was basically on a Lion diet for the first 3 years of her life before we started reintroducing foods. We reintroduced some foods a little bit earlier than that. It's obviously something you can do long term. I don't think it's necessary for children. I think it's a good way to reintroduce food or to introduce foods in the first place, to start a baby off on meat and then introduce a food one at a time and monitor for like eczema and stomach aches and all these things. And I think it's way safer than having a kid with autoimmunity and letting them eat whatever they want. So it's going to depend on you as a parent and what you want to do. But I know we did food sensitivity testing when I was in grade 2 after I got diagnosed with arthritis, and everything showed up in red except for meat. And it was really bad. It was like, oh, your body's reacting to everything. And my dad said, well, we can't. First of all, that's ridiculous. That can't possibly be true. And second of all, she's going to be an outcast at school. What is she going to do at birthday parties? And it would have been in my best interest to just put me on all meat right away, because like having my ankle and hip replaced when I was 17 made me into an outcast more than having a restricted diet would have. So depends on how sick your kid is. I hope your kid isn't sick, but it's not that big a deal to put your kid on an elimination diet. It's not. It might feel like one, but it's not. They might squawk for a couple days because they miss sugar, but they'll get over it in a couple days. Kids love meat, generally speaking. So try it out for 6 weeks, see if you can figure out the symptoms, and then reintroduce foods back in. Don't think about it as this lifelong thing like me being on it for 5.5 years. I feel like if I had started it earlier, then I wouldn't be in this kind of situation. Although who knows what role mold was playing in that. So that's my Q&A. I will see you next week on a podcast about narcissism that is great, I think. I learned a lot. Not that I was great, but the guy I was talking to was great. And I will do another Q&A in about 3 weeks specifically. It's going to be more of a info video on plastic surgery. So see you then. Thanks for hanging around and waiting for me to recover from mold. And I'm very glad to be back.